This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Lord, we pray that you give us pure hearts, that the words on our lips and the meditations of our heart are nothing but you, for our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, it was all about chew your food. And now today, it seems to be all about washing your hands. And it sounds like we're taking the Emily Post course here in etiquette. But it would be superfluous, I guess, to just gloss over this as if that's what it's all about, as we know that there is so much more going on here. I want to start today, as I usually do when we get a gospel like this, by looking at the actual passage that we are given today. And as you know, is my tendency, when we get one of these continuous readings, as we go back to Mark's gospel after a diversion for 5 weeks in John's Eucharistic discourse, that there's some verses missing here, huh? We have Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. Then we skip to 14 and 15, and then we skip to 21 to 23. Doesn't that sort of get you? Why? Is there something they didn't want us to hear in there? That's where I always go. And looking into the entire section, there isn't anything that's really offensive in there, but this sort of gives us the continuation of this particular sort of dialogue or story that we want to have in the gospel. But there's something very interesting. The gospel translation that we use in our lectionary is the New Revised Standard Version. And if you get out your New Revised Standard Version when you go home, or most other versions of the Bible, you go and you look for these verses that are missing, and you'll read Mark, and you'll go to Mark 14, Mark 15, and then it goes right to Mark 7, verse 17. Do you know there's no Mark 7:16 in most of the versions of the Bible? It's omitted. It's not there. Well, of course, when I see that, I'm pulling out everything I can. Why did they leave that out? Is the secret answer in there? Well, there are actually about 20 verses in the Bible that are in some versions of the Bible, but not in others. And it's a very simple explanation. It's not about that they didn't like what those verses had to say. It's that when they look back as far as they can to the original versions of the scriptures, that there isn't enough tangible evidence that those particular verses were in the original intent. Maybe that scribe was having a bad day and they just got tired and they looked at the wrong thing and put something in there. And Mark 7:16, if it was in there, would be this: let anyone with ears to hear listen. Not offensive, is it? As a matter of fact, those very words are in different sections of Mark's gospel. But it's pretty clear that in the earliest versions of the scriptures, it wasn't there. So that's why they leave it out. But I want to go back to that, the reasoning, because I think that gives us sort of the entree into what I want to say today about this gospel. They go back to the original intent of the author, and they find that it wasn't there, and so they realize it needs to be revised. Hang on to that thought, because it's important for us in what Jesus is saying today. the responsibility that we have in our lives, in our vocations, in our ministries, and everything we are and do as Christians, to constantly go back and say, is this the original intent? Is this the original mission and purpose? Each one of us, each business, each ministry, everything that we are and do, whether it's a small project or a mission or a vocation, we start with the best of intentions. We see a need. We see how our passion and talents can meet that need. And so we give ourselves heart and soul to achieving the fulfillment of that need. And expressed or unexpressed, we make decisions based on the mission and purpose that we have. And if I compromise that mission and purpose in my decision makings, then in effect, I am changing my mission and my purpose. Don't think you have a mission? Well, let me help you. Look at the decisions you make on an everyday basis. Like it or not, the decisions we make express our mission. What is driving your daily decision making? That, in effect, is your mission. Things happen along the way. There are temptations to expand the parameters within which we are required to operate if we are to stay focused on our original purpose and mission. We have to deal with all sorts of things. Who will reject me if I do this? Who will withdraw their support if I make this choice? Who will consider threatened if I make this choice? And countless more reasons that make our continual decision-making quite a challenge. There are boundaries for which each of us have to have continual discernment and prayer to be able to make the right choices. And as frail and imperfect people, we sometimes fall short. I have made those kinds of mistakes at times in my own life. We all do. And I thank God that those failures have increased my prioritization of integrity along the way, making my own decisions based on what's the right thing, not the expedient thing or the more acceptable thing, but to choose what is true and right and good. There's only one of us who got it perfectly right. And that is why we look to him as our model, God incarnate in Jesus. Jesus shows us that he's the way. From the beginning of his ministry, it's no coincidence that all three synoptic gospel writers start with the Spirit driving Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Because from the very beginning, we are given a stark reminder that the mission with which we are entrusted and committed will meet challenges. The temptation to take shortcuts that will make it easier to get to where we think we're supposed to go. And Jesus confronts all three of them at the very outset. And he rejects a call to worldly power, a call to popularity, a call to using his powers for the wrong reasons. It continues throughout his ministry. And the only way for him, and therefore the only way for us to stay focused, is the constant need to go away in solitude and prayer and listen to the voice of the one who sent him and gives us our mission and purpose. We just saw that in the last 5 weeks. As we encountered the miracle of the loaves and the fishes that could have thrown Jesus off course and to settle for less, settle for popularity, but he didn't. And there's that interspersion of him trying to go away in solitude because he knew the temptation and he knew the real mission and purpose. When many walk away because of Jesus' difficult message in that latter part of chapter 6 of John's Gospel, Jesus could have pared down the words, but no, he spoke the truth in love. And even in so doing, as John told us, many walked away. And eventually, if we were looking to him as a business enterprise, we'd call Jesus at the time of his death a total failure. Yet it's that very faithfulness to his mission and purpose that enables and inspires us to strive for it today. How can we do that? How can we be assured we're doing the same without becoming self-righteous? How can we be sure we're doing what's right? Well, Pharisees today, they chose adherence to certain laws. They started out with a set of things to do and not to do, and it was all from the start a very good setup. We want to get here, and so we are going to make sure we don't do anything over here and not do anything over there, so we stay in the straight and narrow road. The problem becomes they forget about the road, and they start concentrating on all the stuff on the outside. They didn't know about hygiene in those days. They didn't know that it was important to wash your hands because of hygiene. No, it was just a rule they had. And it becomes the all-important factor that gets them turned aside from what the real goal and mission is. This pandemic has challenged all of our assumptions. Before this pandemic, we probably thought that to stay close to God, I have to be in this church building with regularity. And that's the way we've trained us all. Hopefully we've learned the importance of that from the Ten Commandments, but hopefully our experience has given us a renewed awareness that the goal was never to be in this church. The goal was to have a relationship ongoing with God and with each other. And this is a way that it can help that, but as I think we've all found out, that if we don't put in place the spiritual practices, the disciplines that keep me in relationship with God, then my church attendance has now superseded the search for a relationship with God. And in so doing, then I become no better than the Pharisees who seek nothing but empty rituals for their justification. This is not to give you an excuse not to come anymore. Believe me, that's the last thing I want. But it's to get us to think a little bit about the motivation. What's in the heart? Why we do what we do. Theologian by the name of Loy Bradley Ashton writes this: too often we exalt our rituals about our ethics, enamored with the religiously superior identity that we gain through the participation in our community's ritual symbolism. We get hung up on the religiosity of our set-apartness, overlooking the deeper truth that living out the heart of our religious tradition would instead call us to be an alternative to the larger world of our society by choosing and living out right relationships. Choosing kindness over cruelty, compassion over condemnation, responsibility over freedom. Hypocrisy refers to the disconnect between the moral values and standards that we espouse and those that we actually practice in our behavior. So the call is for each one of us, and I feel more responsibility for this than anyone as your spiritual leader, to continue to look inside my heart. What is driving my decision making? What is driving yours? The ultimate goal: to reconcile all people to God and to each other in Jesus Christ. The mission of this church: to bring all people into the fullness of Christ's family and nurture their spiritual development. Those are our original goals. We have to have those missions and purposes individually for each of us. That's what brought us into this incredible journey to be with Jesus. But it requires us, as Jesus continually calls, not only those who choose to follow him, but those who walk away with a call back to the mission and purpose that got us into this whole adventure to begin with. I ask your prayers for myself, as I know many of you do daily, and I ask our prayers for each other, that we continue to look for a greater and clearer understanding of mission and purpose in our lives. And if we're straying from it, to come back. And if we're dormant in it, to revive it. Because the world needs each one of us. Jesus needs each one of us to live lives that are true and just and good. Amen.